chapter 9. Originally, I was reading a couple verses, but we're going to go ahead and just read the whole chapter and glean from it. So verse number 1, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write unto you. For I know the frowardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them at Macedonia, that was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. For I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready, lest haply if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you, and make up beforehand your bounty." So we're talking about some amount of money here, or blessing. "Wherefore, or whereof ye had notice before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty, and not of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, having always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministereth bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God, whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." And let's pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. Lord, as a church family, Lord, the opportunity I have to preach behind the pulpit tonight. Lord, I don't take it lightly. I pray that you'd help me. Lord, I know I need you tonight. I need your help and your guidance in the words to say. Lord, so much is here in your word. And Lord, so many things regarding the subject tonight. And Lord, I don't know that any one of us could get up and do this area justice like you can. And I thank you for the words that we have in the Bible, and Lord, the encouragements, Lord, the commands that we have. And I thank you that, Lord, every single Christian can go home tonight and they can read the same thing. And Lord, we can all be on the same page, and we can have the same amount of love and joy and success in the Christian life that you will allow and you give to all of us. Thank you for your blessings that you've given to each one of us freely. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. That was a lot of a mouthful, and I think when you ever get up and do something, when you read it and you take your time and you meditate it, by the way, it's a lot better for you, okay? All right? Sometimes hearing somebody read it really quick, I don't know that you get quite. I've sat here and read it, and you ever done that, Brother Nicholas? You've read something, and then you get up and you read it, and you realize you probably just should have read 2 or 3 verses, all right? Been there, done that. Parents, have you done that before? You had an instruction for your child, and you gave them the whole long reason. You really should just, you know, narrow it down and give them clear and explicit instruction, all right? And that's what we're going to do tonight. We're narrowing in, I think, if you read there, verse 6 and 7, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly." Pretty obvious. We've heard that one before. And then it gives the opposite. "He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according to as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give." The word we're focusing on here is give. "Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able," and here we get the explanation afterwards, and I think sometimes maybe we do skip this section here, but verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you." God's giving you something for you giving to him. That's the benefit here. And it keeps going, "that ye, having always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." He can take care of your need. And we think of this Thanksgiving time, and I guess really that's the challenge in our hearts tonight. I'm going to preach on this subject. Getting and gathering. I'm not going to say that too many times fast, all right? But the truth is, we live in this world right now where getting is a big deal, and we're right here in the midst of that season, aren't we? Now, if you're not careful, you can read things the wrong way with these three words. They're really all three of them. We're going to look a little bit at each one. The Bible mentions them a little bit differently. And by the way, can you give things that are bad? Yes, you can. Can you give things that are good? Well, yes, you can. And can you get the bad and the good? Yes, you can. God clearly states that here. There's two sides to this giving and getting and gathering thing. And he says if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. And we find in the Bible, whenever these words are given, they have a clear meaning. And if you're not careful, you get kind of, we like Christmas time. And we get kind of brainwashed a little bit, right, by advertisements, okay? And a lot of times, think about it. If you notice the advertisements, most of the advertisements this time of year all sound good, all right? They make you sound like this wonderful Christian, all right? You know, give him his favorite, gun for Christmas, and give her favorite, whatever. And they're just trying to get you, really, they don't care whether you give it to anybody. They just care whether you shell the money out, pay for it, and supposedly give it to somebody, all right? And if you're not care, I'm not against the giving part, okay? I love this time of year, I guess, for that reason. It seems like if you're not careful, you turn on the TV or you see something, and I do love the encouragement to be giving. There's nothing wrong with that. And I think as Christians, we ought to stop and see it the right way. And that's kind of what we're going to do tonight. We're going to kind of try to balance ourselves you're getting ready to go into December. All right, you just came out of Black Friday crazy people shopping, all right? Thankfully, it's not that bad anymore, all right? They've made it to where I guess everybody can get more online. But that's kind of what they're trying to do. They're trying to get you to focus a little bit too much on the getting part and maybe not enough on the real giving part. And I think if we're not careful, that secular portrayal of giving is how we think giving is. Does that make sense? And so God says here, about reaping and sowing and giving to the Lord. And sometimes we take all of that, and I understand money is money. And you know what? The Lord wants us to give our tithes. We'll talk a little bit about that tonight. But this isn't a tithing message. All right, I'm not going to get up and preach on, all the 10 things wrong on your tithing envelope last week. All right, we're not doing that. All right, but then again, let's mention that. No, just kidding. I'm not going to go into Brother Young's pet peeves about the tithing envelopes. If you're giving money to the Lord, you're giving money to the Lord. That is between you and him, not me. All right, I won't say anything about the person who folds their $1 bill up to a little tiny square that I have to unfold. Okay, that's all I'll say. Giving and, hey, listen, you know what? Those three words, let's dissect them just real quick, okay? Getting seems pretty easy, right?
Yeah,
pretty easy. You sit there and you get something. By the way, though, has anybody ever gotten something that took a lot of work? Yeah, all right? Just because it's a gift doesn't always make it easy. But getting by itself is pretty easy to do. Hey, listen, you know what? Giving isn't near as hard either as we make it sometimes. Gathering is a different word in the Bible, and that's kind of an interesting word. We'll talk about that very shortly. But let me just give you the word for each of these. Ready? Give means to bestow or pass or to hand over to someone else. Getting is to obtain or to have, all right? By any means necessary sometimes. I mean, when you get something, you didn't always get it because you worked for it. Sometimes you were just given that thing. Okay? And then gathering is a different thing. Gathering does take, the idea of gathering is involving work.
Yes.
It's involving work. So that would be the difference between them. It's kind of a hybrid word. It goes for both. If you're giving and you're getting, then somebody in there is the gatherer. Sometimes he's doing both. All right? He's getting something and he's giving it to somebody else. And so if you're not careful, you kind of skip over those words in the Bible. Let me give you these two preliminary statements and we'll talk about it, all right? We're in 2 Corinthians. Go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians 2. We're going to be there in just a minute. 2 Corinthians 2. But here's the number one statement before we get started. Ready? None of us can give more than God. None of us can give more than God. What he's already given was enough. Okay? What he continues to give is bonus. It's extra. He loves us. He loves you. You know, if all he ever did was give his son, that is clearly enough for us. And yet, sometimes we want more, all right? But the number one statement is, no matter how hard I try, I can't outgive God. And that's what he says right there. He says right there in that verse, "This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." And so there's a huge amount of bounty that's waiting for you if you'll just not try to get in competition with God, but just trust God and give to God and follow God's leading. Number two statement would be this. There are many references to giving in the Bible, and there are some things, though, that we cannot give. Only God can give. If you could give life to someone who needed life, and I understand that there's things that we can get from God and pass on. I can't give life to someone who's passed on. Only God can do that. I can't give salvation to you as much as I wish I could give salvation to you. You've got to accept that from God. Now, I can be the gift carrier. I can be the person who passes it on. I can be the person who gathers things together. So, hey, listen, that's what we're trying to do this weekend. We're trying to gather people in this room so that they can hear about the gift of God. And that's the goal. And so we can do that. We can be a part of it. But there are some things that only God can give. Hey, there are needs on your prayer list that only are going to be met by God. Now, he may use somebody else to do it. And truly, all gifts do come down. We hear that verse from the Father of lights. And that's a great verse. I love every good and perfect gift from above cometh down from the Lord. And so anything we do get down here does ultimately come from God. But there are some things it's hard for me to give, and it's a lot easier for God to give you, okay? And I can be a part of it. You know, I can give you wisdom. I can give you some knowledge. I can give you some understanding. But really, I'm not doing that. In the end, it's God who does that, okay? So those are the statements we want to remember. That way we can stay balanced. Because when we go through the Bible, we do see a lot of seesaws around here when it comes to this giving thing. And so let's go to 2 Corinthians. We're in that same book. I'm not there. You're there. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. Chapter 2, verse 10. We're going to talk about this idea of getting. Honestly, getting is not as talked about in the Bible. Now, there are rewards mentioned and things, but the word getting, things that involved kind of the selfish word, all right? Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we can see what happens, all right? Verse 10. To whom ye forgive, that's an interesting, has the word give in it, anything I forgive also, for if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest, this is an interesting word when I looked up the word get, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You say, Brother Young, why do we start with that one? Well, because when we get to talking about this idea of getting something, it's real easy for Satan to step into our sinful nature, right, and we stop thinking of it the right way. Right. Okay? What can I get? What could you get? What could you give me? All right? What can I get out of this? Hey, what do I get from the Bible this morning? And we ought to be selfish, if you want to say it, according to righteousness. We ought to want, ready? Not get, but want or desire. In fact, the Bible doesn't always use the word get, okay, as much as we would think it should. Instead, it just gives you command and says, desire it, want it, go after it. And it doesn't really say, a lot of times it'll say, if you'll desire it and go after it and want it, you'll get it. It does say that. If you read through the Proverbs, how many times does it talk about that? And we're going to talk about some good versions of getting, but honestly, the getting in the Bible is very, if you're not careful, you can get misguided with this word getting. Gimme, gimme, gimme. You know what? Our selfish nature is that way. My children, you know what? They want, all right, certain things. You want certain things. And if you're not careful, your wanter is going to get out of whack here in December. And you're gonna walk around wanting this and wanting that because they've got it posted everywhere. All right, anywhere you walk, everything's about gifts and giving and getting, and I want that. But here in chapter 2, and then there's an interesting backstory here, but Paul basically says, hey, if you forgive this man who caused a problem in your church, I'll forgive him too. And then he basically says, if we don't do this properly, if we don't deal with this giving grace and getting grace and giving forgiveness and getting forgiveness thing right, Satan is going to get something in our life. What is it? He's going to get an advantage. He's going to get an advantage. And I don't want Satan to have an advantage on me. and my family during Christmas time. Just because we came out of Thanksgiving and just because we're getting ready to go celebrate Christmas doesn't mean I ought to give him the advantage in my life. And so you be careful, guard yourself of that. What can we get? Well, I'm going to give you a shotgun list, basically, of these words, and we're going to wrap it up with one thing, okay? What can we get? Well, we can get taken advantage of by Satan. What else can we get in the Bible? Well, there's a lot of them. Ready? We can get a gain or an increase. You remember, this is often, I give you the more secular ones first, but this is often a verse quoted for people who get something, and it's a boastful verse, a prideful verse. James chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get what? Gain. We're going to get gain. Now, that's the world we live in. They're all about getting rich quick, all right? Getting something. What can I get out of this? How much can I get quickly? Can I get some extra Christmas money for Christmas presents? Can I get things? And so here we have Satan in the church. If you're not careful, he'll get an advantage. He'll get an advantage in life. But also, you can get something. There's some things you can get. You could get an increase in money and worldly goods and possessions. There's nothing wrong with that in and of itself. But here we have a guy who's boasting about it. And he's getting gain, but man, it's also getting to his head. All right? Or we could follow the Bible pattern and get wisdom first. Before we go ahead and get gain, we could get wisdom. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. That's the most used verse in the Bible with the word get, actually. Because if you keep reading, it says, neither decline from the words of the mouth. Forsake her not. She shall preserve thee. Love her and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Man, if there's something you should get, it should be wisdom. And it doesn't take anything but you talking to the Lord and reading His Word to start with getting wisdom. There's no YouTube video you got to watch. There's no five-step plan. Just go get some wisdom, not from me and not from you, but from Him. And He says that clearly there. And sometimes we got to go to other places to get that, but it still should be guided by the wisdom of God's Word. And with all thy getting, get understanding. That's the most getting section of Scripture there is. And it basically says, hey, stop trying to get everything else and get you some wisdom. All right? So, hey, listen, before we go into this Christmas time and December 25th and all of that, and we look forward to presents, before you go get any more presents for someone, maybe we should stop and get some wisdom from God's Word. All right? Hey, listen, we could also get what we deserve. We could get what we deserve. Or we could get some understanding about it. You know what? I'm glad that those two ladies got some understanding. And on Sunday night, they realized, man, I deserve this. I don't want that. I don't want it. And sometimes you have to get what you don't want, obviously. But you know what? With the case of salvation, Jesus says, God says, hey, you know what? I'm not willing that any should perish. You don't have to get what you deserve if you'll just come to me. And so we got to be careful with this matter of getting. Now, what about this other word here, gather? Gather. Now, this one was interesting to me because instead of, if you look for the getting and the gathering and all of that in the Bible, you're going to find this word gather quite a bit. Now, a lot of times in the Old Testament, it's going to talk about harvest, okay? So gathering mostly in the Bible talks about this act of gathering up fruit and gathering up wheat and gathering things together or tying it up and bringing it together. But you know what? If you read into that, a lot of times Jesus used those same things, didn't he? Yep. In the New Testament. So if you go to the New Testament, a lot of times the word gather still is used for the same thing. But if you read it, it's Jesus saying, hey, one day I'm going to gather all the saints to me. One day I'm going to gather these people over here and these people over here and we're going to come. All right. Now, those are only things God can do. You can't do that. All right. In the word gather is used a lot in Revelation. All right, we're not doing the gathering in Revelation. He is doing the gathering. If you haven't gone and you need to catch up on your Revelation sermon from Pastor, go listen to those things, okay? The angels, boy, when the angels start gathering stuff, all right, our work is done, okay? When God sends the angels to do the gathering, we're not part of that. And so that's talking about the harvest of souls. But here on earth, we can be wise in our getting and giving, and we can turn into a gatherer. Okay, you think of the story, and I have it here. I guess we're going to go through it a little quicker than I wanted to, because honestly, I want to get to the giving part. I want to learn how to give. Okay, Because here we have a gatherer. We can gather some stuff. We can gather our possessions together. There's nothing wrong with that. But that one guy in that story, we just read him, and we heard that verse. He gathered his barns, and he tore them down and built more of them, and he gathered all that together, and God said, he's a fool.
Right.
Okay? He lived for the wrong type of gathering. Okay? He wasn't living for the gathering of souls. He wasn't living for the gathering together of God's people. He was living for himself. And so we still, again, in the getting mentality, we got to make sure we don't get taken advantage of. Gather your possessions when you got to, and I understand that. But at some point, you've got to live for something different. Hey, we can gather our labors and profits. Solomon talks about that. Everything gathered under the sun. We can gather from our future. Go to Matthew 25 real quick. I want to look at this. This is probably the main verse on gathering that I didn't actually see at first. Matthew 25. We know the story of the man who was given a talent. So you've been given something, and in this story, these men were given a certain number of talents, right? And so we find the men with talents, and the master goes away, and he comes back. And of course, each of them doubled them except for the last man. And this is we're going to pick up. Matthew 25, verse 24. Then he which had received the one, okay, came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping, there's that reaping word again, where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that as thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and I gather where I have not strawed. All right? Now, what's the thought from this that we should get? Well, one, we obviously know, and we hear this a lot, use your talents for the Lord, don't waste your life. You know, some people will get the opportunity to be saved, and they will choose not to be saved. And so you could go a lot of directions with this passage of Scripture, okay? You can waste the talent God gives you, you can waste the life God gives you. But in this context, let's stop looking at the man with the one talent, and let's look at the master real quick, okay? Because he's the one who is what? Gathering. And the lesson is still there that these men, they wanted to serve the master with their talent, and they did what the master would have done. If you think of what their language was, they said, hey, we did what we knew you'd want us to do. We did what you would do if you were here. And except for this guy. He had one talent, and he says, I was afraid, and I hid my talent in the earth. And the master says, hey, you're wicked, slothful. I reap where I sow not. I reap in places I haven't even sowed yet. I gather in the distance. I gather in the future. You say, Brother Young, what does that mean? Well, it means when you sow, you're sowing for your future, right? Hey, when you're planting, you're planting for the future, okay? When you're gathering, you're supposed to be gathering for your future, okay? Heap not unto yourselves treasures here on earth, where moth and rust corrupt. I got a quote from somebody, and his name is Jim Elliot. And here's the quote he gave. He is no fool who gives, there's that giving word, what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. What does that mean? That's a two categories right there. Okay? He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep. That's earthly stuff. That's anything here. You can't keep anything from here. He's no fool who gives that stuff so that he can gain what he can't lose. You say, what's that? I don't understand that part. Well, you're missing it, because that's the main deal. And oftentimes, listen, I'm guilty and you're guilty. We get into this materialistic mindset. It's December. I want to give gifts. I'd love to be a blessing to Brother so-and-so and my kids and my wife. And that's all nice and good. But the truth is, if all I ever do is give my sons and daughters gifts on earth, then I miss something. I miss something because I need to give them much more than a thing, right? I need to make sure that I'm giving them something, at least the chance to get something that they can't lose in the future. And so it means I'm going to have to sacrifice a little bit of my temporal time, a little bit of my stuff, a little bit of my wants and desires here on earth to make sure that, you know what, not only me, but my children, my family have an opportunity to go gain some heavenly rewards, all right? And so let's just keep that idea of gathering. Boy, the master, Lord Jesus, he doesn't just gather you when it's time. You can't just live this whole life going, all right, I got my stuff. I can't wait till I go to heaven. Well, that's not a great way to live. Okay? Live here on earth like these guys did. And that was, they looked at their talents and they said, okay, we're going to invest this. Yeah, but what if I plant it and I lose it? Okay, well, I'm going to plant all of them. I'm going to plant all five of them. Okay? I'm going to plant all of my talents. And you know what's going to happen? We're going to double it. Hey, listen, they didn't tell you how long those guys waited, did they? Okay? You know what they didn't tell you? They didn't tell you that that guy may have planted that talent, watched it grow, watched it die, and had to do it again. Okay? They didn't tell you that during that time, you know, he may have worked and toiled and lost a few. It's kind of like a farmer with his crops. Not every year is a great year. All right? Not every ear of corn grows. But you know what? He kept working diligently and diligently. And you know what I know? By the time the master got back, he had doubled what he had. He had doubled what he had. And so I want to keep that in my mindset. When it comes down to this, I don't want to just get, I want to give. Hey, listen, I don't want to just get. I want to make sure I'm a gatherer for the future as well. Let's finish out with this word here, giving. Giving. The quote is, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Let's go back and go ahead and turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We will end there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. But right now, we've only looked at how, you know what, there's some negative stuff about giving. There's some good things about getting. And there's some things about gathering. But let's talk about this matter of giving. What can we give to the Lord? There's a little poem, and it came from a certain time, you know, the story of the manger. Okay, what can I give him, poor as I am? If I was a shepherd, I'd give a lamb. All right? And then if I were a wise man, I'd do my part. What can I give him? I'd give him my heart. Okay? I remember that from as being a kid. And the truth is, you ought to give your heart to Jesus. But we're going to see something about that. What does the Bible say about it, okay? And you can't turn to all these because we just won't have time. But what can we give? What can we give? And start thinking about this for this year. What can I give to the Lord? Ready? I can give freely. I can give freely. Whatever I've been given, I can give back. Hey, listen, the Bible says in Matthew 10:8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast it down. Freely ye have received, freely give. Hey, if it was free to you, you ought to make it free to somebody else. Okay? And you listen, even if it wasn't free to you, I ought to make it free to somebody else. Even if I had to work for it, and the Lord touches my heart and says, give it to that person, I ought to do that. Okay? Hey, you know what else we can give? We can give account. We can give account to the Lord. And we're going to have to someday. But I send to you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof. And so what are you going to do this holiday season? Well, you're going to give account on how you speak. You're going to give account on the letters you write to people at Christmas time. You're going to give account for the envelopes and the flyers and the tracts and everything that you gave. All right? You get to give account of that. Was it good? Was it worth it? Was it temporal? Hey, listen, it's okay to give some temporal gifts. I want to make my children happy. Okay? And we can talk about that. You can Luke 11:13. You can give a wise or a foolish gift, right? Would a father give his son a serpent if he wants a piece of bread or a stone if he asks for something else? Of course not. How much more does God know how to give to us? Hey, there's nothing wrong with giving gifts, but let's give gifts that are wise, not gifts that are foolish. Hey, there's times I've been tempted to get something and I thought, man alive, that's kind of a dumb idea, all right? There's times I've given something and thought, man alive, that was a horrible idea, all right? Those little noisy toys on Christmas that make all the noise. Oh, I got 6 kids. They all, yeah, they have one. We brought one out. You ever hide one and bring it back out again? All right, we tried that. Hit it, and then the other day one of the kids found it. Oh, boy, little piano. It's wonderful, wonderful. All right. But hey, you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. We can give those kind of things. You know what else we can give? We can give nothing to gain salvation. I love that verse. Okay. In fact, actually, it's convicting. For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Hey, there's nothing more valuable than those two ladies who walked the aisle on Sunday night. They didn't have to give anything. Hey, listen, be careful that you don't walk into this little give him your heart thing, okay? All right? It doesn't say that the Lord, he has to be Lord of my life for me to be saved, okay? I was witnessing one time in Lexington, and mega church pastor, or youth pastor, actually, knocked on the door, witnessed to him, said, hey, do you know 100% sure you're on your way to heaven? He goes, oh, yeah, I've got saved. I said, okay, tell me about it, right? He said, well, I've made the Lord, he's Lord of my life. And I said, oh, really? Lord of your life. Okay. All right. I don't think the guy who walked the aisle had Jesus as the king of his life at that moment. All right. I don't think so. I don't think he knew, but I think he knew right away, I need him to be my Savior. So I think he's the Savior of that man's life. So you got to be careful about that whole, well, I'm just going to give him my heart. Hey, listen, a lot of times us as Christians, we take our heart right back, don't we? Okay, if my salvation depended on where my heart was, I'd be in big trouble, okay? Because our heart is desperately wicked. And so we got to be careful about that. You can give him your heart, but man, that's not your salvation. You can't give anything for your salvation except for that free and complete what? Surrender to the Lord. And so you make sure that that's the way you present salvation during this time. Hey, we can give our talents. We can give to the needy and the poor. We don't have time to go through all the verses. We can give according to what's been given. You ought to remember that. Luke 11:41. But rather give alms as such as ye have. Such as ye have. You know, a lot of times we look at this Christmas time and we see, well, he got something nicer than what I got. First of all, that's that got and get mentality. Okay? But the truth is, even in a humble heart or even in a desire just to give to the Lord, man, there's a reason, you know, there's a reason you shouldn't parade up here and make a ceremony of putting your check in the offering plate, okay? That's what the Pharisees did. They made fun of that lady who dropped her two mites in there. And they were looking at a monetary amount and saying, well, she didn't give a lot. And Jesus said, she gave more than any of you ever would have thought of doing. Because you know why? She gave her alms or her offerings to the Lord as what they have. Hey, listen, Americans, we still got to stop, you know, and look. I know that's Christmas time. Money gets tight. Heat bills go up. Okay. But you know what? Brother Young prints out those giving statements, and you don't have to have a giving statement. It doesn't bother me at all. But you know what I do with that? I look and I go, Lord, is this what you wanted from me? That's what I do for me personally. And I stop and say, you should do that anyway. You should know how much you're giving to the Lord. Shouldn't be an accident. Whoops, dropped a couple bucks in the offering plate. Hey, if that's what you do, you're not giving like you should anyway. Okay? The Bible talks really clearly about that tithing and the offering and the alms and all that. But the truth is, man, you ought to go back and just say, all right, Lord, is this what you wanted me to do? Is this what you wanted me to do? And we're not begging for money at the church, all right? But the truth is, we ought to stop and say, you know what? Am I giving according to what God wants me to give? And am I giving according to what's been given to me? And by the way, I know, we can't outgive God. We can't. Hey, you can give your kids a godly inheritance this Christmas. Amen. You can give them your testimony. Amen. You can give them your stories of your parents' testimony. All right? You can give them that time. Hey, we can give to our enemies. There's a whole bunch of things. We're not going to go through them. We can give heed to fables and gossip this Christmas. Okay? That's in the Bible too, amen. We can give heeds to falsehoods. You can give none offense. That means you could give somebody the benefit of a doubt a little bit. All right? Hey, there's a lot of them there. I don't have time to do all of them. Here's what I want to leave you with, okay? Go back to that verse. We're back to 2 Corinthians chapter... I'm not back there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Here's what I want to challenge us with. I know we can get stuff. I know we can gather things. And I know we can give things. And I want to keep all of those balanced in my life. Let's just read this verse one more time. But at this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. This Christmas, I want to give bountifully to the person that I love the most, and that's the Lord Jesus. And you ought to make that your decision. You ought to decide that now. And just say, you know what, for the next, we're getting ready to hit December, maybe countdown, 25 days till Christmas. For the next 25 days, I'm going to seek a way to give one thing different to the Lord every day. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is that you are missing, what it is that I'm missing in giving to the Lord. Maybe I don't give him enough of my time, or this today is something else. But what am I going to make sure I give to him? 25 different things would be a good idea. Next one, ready? Every man according to as he purposeth in his heart. You've got to decide it. Number one, you've got to give bountifully. Number two, you have to decide to do that. It doesn't happen by accident. And it has to happen in your heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. Number three, you got to do it with a good attitude. Right. All right? You got to do it with a good attitude. And then here's the number four, ready? You can get and you can gather quite a few things if you'll just give a little bit more to the Lord. Look at verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, having always all sufficiency... That means you're going to be okay. The heat bill might be hard, but you're going to be fine. God will take care of that. Okay, you say, Brother Young, well, what if he doesn't take care of it right away? Eventually he will. If You're a person who's giving to him. You say, well, I don't have a lot of money. Obviously, if I had money, I'd give it to him, right? He didn't ask for that. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. What can you give him? Poor as you might be, okay? Poor as I am. If I were a shepherd, I'd give him a lamb. What can you give the Lord? 25 days. What can we give God each day that we haven't been giving him up till now? Or maybe we have. We just want to make sure that we want to have a bountiful and blessed life. I want to not just give. I'd like to gather a little bit of that for the future, for when I meet him and he can look at me and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the message today. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to give to you. Lord, every day we have the chance to give you many things. We can give you our heart. We can give you our will that day. We can give you our time and our life, our energies, our money. Lord, anything that you might need or ask, we can give it to you. But Lord, sometimes we keep it for ourselves. Help us this Christmas season, during our time of thankfulness, during looking forward to the opportunity to celebrate and honor you for the greatest gift you could have ever given. Lord, I love all the gift giving and the things that we'll get for each other. But I pray that as Christians, we would stop and look at these two verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. And Lord, we would live this kind of life this year. Lord, you'd help me to finish out this year with the mindset that I need to have, giving everything I have to you. Lord, whatever it is you ask of me, speak to my heart. And tonight, speak to my heart this week. And Lord, each and every day as we go forward, that we'd let you dictate what you would like us to do.